Are you going through perimenopause or menopause right now and cannot lose weight or barely can lose weight? You are going to enjoy this show today. Listen in as Jason Lienarts of Revolutionary You and I discuss how to lose weight through perimenopause and menopause. Welcome to the Julie Tussey Show. Get on the Julie Tussey train. We're going somewhere, baby.
Pop the glampain. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show. Live guest, current events, scathing exposés. The original suburban bombshell, the big blonde baby. Giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
Welcome to the Julie Tussey Show. I have my amazing, well, we've decided that we were twins separated at birth, Jason Lienarts of Revolutionary You. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hey, Julie. Nice to be back. Thanks for having me on again.
You're so welcome. I have to tell everybody, we were talking just a minute ago, and you said that we are the bald in the blonde. Is that what you said?
Yeah, although it is your show, so I shouldn't get preference. It should be the blonde and the bald.
The blonde and the bald guy. Sounds like a whole new podcast. How have you been?
I have been crazy busy, but it's I've been having a blast and just rolling with it. I'm sure you know what that's like.
Yeah, I've been listening to your podcast, and I loved Alan, by the way. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, Alan and I, for those that don't know, I just did a show recently with a fellow by the name of Alan Aragon, and it was a slightly different format from what I normally do, but it was a very, very intriguing, very entertaining show. So for those that are interested, you can certainly check it out. But Alan was he was a lot of fun to do a show with.
Yeah, I love the pros and cons. Like, you just kind of threw it out there, and he had to catch it.
Yeah, and
it was
I you know, the funny thing is I had a list of, I don't know, 13 or 14 different things I wanted to throw at him, and I only tipped my hat to about two of them. So the rest of them were a complete surprise. So.
Oh, wow. Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was good. It was really good. I learned a lot, and it's. I'm going to do something similar to you today.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. Before we do, though, I wanted to say that Jason has been coaching me kind of. I'm hard to coach, I'm sure. I'm probably one of the hardest people you have to coach because I'm like gluten-free and pretty much keto intolerant. And like, I can't do lots of fats because I had my gallbladder out and I can't do a lot of protein. It gives me stomach ache. I'm like a piece of work. But you've been being my friend and coaching me, and I so appreciate that because I feel like I'm not alone in the journey, and I'm part of Half Size Me to the community there. And so although I don't go to a meeting every week and don't do those kinds of things, I always feel like I have somebody I can go help. So I posted a picture. And I showed my before picture, which I just looked terrible. I was 40 pounds over my normal weight and then gained 20 for menopause, premenopause and perimenopause and all of that pausing stuff. And it was just horrible, Jason. It was horrible. And so I've been on this journey. I tried to lose weight by myself for almost four years. I exercised in the gym 5 days a week. Went up 3 pounds, took 6 weeks to get that back, and then I just stayed the same. I've done Weight Watchers on and off, and I do really good, and then they change the program, and then it doesn't work for me anymore. And so I've been up and down, you know, 20 pounds over that four-year period, I guess, maybe 16. And then all of a sudden, I had that extra weight gain, and I was just devastated. And that is when I started listening to Heather Robertson of Half Size Me, her podcast, and I started listening to your podcast. And I never ever dreamed that you and I would become friends and you would coach me and we would do podcasts together, but I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, Jason, for that.
Likewise.
So I took my before picture and I took a pretty good pose, my brother. Pretty good.
she broke the internet.
I took a pretty good pose and I put them side by side. And, you know, I've only lost 24 pounds and then I still go back up. I get down 24 and then I'll pop up 3 pounds and then come back down 24. And but I couldn't believe the difference in my body. And I actually did go to the gym for 2 years, but I have hardly been there for 6 months. My life has been crazy. And so Jason was telling me that he was talking with a client, and tell everybody what they said, Jason, because I have to capitalize on this.
Absolutely. You know, we got to share the love. So I was literally as within about a half hour of us recording this show, I was speaking with another online client, and she was just talking about, you know, the things that she's having to do to get her focus on track. And she just said, you know what, because I saw that picture that Julie Tussey posted, and she looks amazing. And I was like, you're right, she sure does.
Aw, that was so sweet. And the difference, I'm sure you teach people how to use weights and do physical training on top of their diet. And don't I look so different? I can't believe I look like I lost 50 pounds to myself.
It's credit to you because of the way that your body has decided this is where I'm going to distribute whatever I've got to distribute. So you're one of those people that fortunately you can see, you know, significant weight loss, and it is a dramatic change in your physique. So I think it's fantastic.
Oh, I'm thankful. Thank you, Jesus. He's the only one I can give credit to for that. But I am thankful. I still have a lot to work on from the side view, though, that menopause thing, and this is what women, I think, are really, really after that are, you know, 30, as long as I've been 30, is that stomach. You gain all this weight in your stomach, and it seems to take a long time to come off.
Well, that is certainly one of the things that I hear about is with those changes in hormones and just the way that your body is responding to it. Yes, one of the things that I tend to hear about is a little bit more looseness in the midsection that may or may not go away. So that is the unfortunate part of it. So the same principles will still apply. You still have to eat for a predetermined goal, and you still have to exercise intelligently. And perhaps you may have to go that route of cosmetic surgery, but I don't know. You know, that's one of those things. I have a lot of people they'll come to me and they'll grip the belly, they'll pinch it, and they'll say, what can I do about this? And of course, the first thing is diet. It's always the first thing that you want to conquer is what's happening with the diet. And unfortunately for a lot of women, what worked when they were in their 20s and what worked when they were in their 30s no longer works when you're going through menopause. The game changes significantly. So while the principles are the same, typically what you have to go through to get to where you want to be, it's a slower process. And I've heard, and you can take this statement with a grain of salt, I have heard from some people that there may be 5 to 15 pounds of fat gain that you really can't do anything about until you have gone through menopause. So the more you try to rebel against the body, the more the body may be trying to rebel against you. So if you can, and you know, this is a hard thing to say, and it's obviously a tough way to sell, but I don't sell smoke and mirrors. So what I'll tell people is, if you are okay with that degree of 5 to 15 pounds, because that part we really can't control, let's control all the other things that we can. And that's really the best thing that you can do.
Exactly. And I think I didn't start out thinking this would happen, but I think I'm going to be a poster child for the fact that you can lose weight during the most severe year of going through menopause. I'm not sure I'm completely through it, but I'm very, very close. And I have done this in the last year and a half. And I'm telling you, if you gave me a list as long as my arm that is menopausal symptoms, the perimenopause symptoms that happened, I think I had every one but two. I mean, we're talking everything just seemed to be so exaggerated. But I have found ways to lose weight. I have shared those. I had to up my protein. I actually, Jason, we've never talked about this before, so I don't know how you feel about it, but I actually had to implement intermittent fasting, which was surprisingly not hard for me because it just simply meant that I stopped eating at 6 or 7 at night unless I was performing. And I would go as long as I could in the morning without eating, but not let myself get to a binge point. And I would even have like coffee with cream. I just acted like I was still fasting, and it made a big difference. And then the other thing is that my Achilles heel, sugar. Ugh, I had to cut sugar. And now I'm back. I'm back on sugar, and it's so hard to get off of. But what do you think about intermittent fasting?
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this, and actually I'll kind of refer back to what we were saying right when we started the episode. This is a topic that I actually had Alan touch on also in our episode together. So I'll mirror some of what he says, and I'll offer another personal parallel for it. I think it's a great tool for certain people, and I'll discuss who it wouldn't be good for in a moment. But I have actually done intermittent fasting myself a few separate times. And for those that don't know much about what this is, basically you extend the amount of time that you are not eating, and you close the window of time when you are actually consuming food. And one of the more popular variations that you'll see people talk about is, let's say you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. So you're asleep at 10 o'clock. And then you wake up whatever time you wake up. And so your next time to eat would be around 2 in the afternoon. And you would have an eating window of somewhere between 2 and 10 o'clock. Now, that window can change. But if you figure 16 hours of fasting and 8 hours of consuming is basically what you're doing. And there's lots of variations. It doesn't have to be 16-8. I know people that go a full 24 hours before they attack that next meal. So there's lots of ways that you can do it. But I've done a few different variations of it myself. The last time I did it was the most successful because I was actually trying to diet purposefully at that time. But actually, my wife, since she's been trying to get the baby weight off, our son is almost a year old now. And as she has been steadily losing weight, she just sort of, kind of like you, she sort of fell into intermittent fasting. It was an easy thing for her to do because my wife's the kind of person who will wake up in the morning and become so busy with everything that she has going on that the last thing she thinks about is food. And so she can wake up and go several hours and not eat a thing and then eat something kind of small, and then she saves the rest for dinner. And so when mm-hmm. she said to me after Sebastian was born, that, hey, I need to get the weight off, I said, well, you know, you may not know this, but what you do just without even thinking about it is something called intermittent fasting. And so I gave her just a calorie range and I said, okay, so if you have a small meal around this time of day and then you have dinner with me, you know, the way you would normally, this is pretty much going to get you where you need to go. And she's lost, oh, let's see, you know, after the weight that you typically lose after, you know, baby and the water and all that other stuff, I want to say she's lost about 30 pounds.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I think she still wants to lose a little bit more. I think she really has her mind set to, I want to be the weight that I was before I got pregnant. And so, you know, we'll see. But, you know, it's a process, and it wasn't anything that was dramatically fast. Where I do offer a caveat for intermittent fasting is if you are an individual who believes that they have issues with binge eating, it's probably not a very good thing to go for. It's worth trying, but I don't know if I would put a lot of time and effort into it because the one thing that you have to get intimately aware of is hunger. And if you have problems with binge eating, being hungry is probably not something that you are, you know, closely aligned with. And so it can be a very, very difficult diet for people that associate with more binge eating behaviors.
Right. Well, I did some research on it, and there I haven't refreshed myself recently, but they were talking about leptin for women that are in the age group, you know, 35 to 60, that it helps to burn more fat. And I find that it does happen for me. I do cheat a little bit sometimes because I can get hypoglycemia, so I'll put like a Carb Master milk, a quarter cup or a half cup on my nightstand, and sometimes I'll have to have about 4 hours in. If I'm still awake, I'll just have some milk. And what it does for me, though, Jason, and I think that this is where everyone has to find what works for them. Everyone has to, you basically have to create your own program. usually to attain your goal. But what it does for me is I'm not a breakfast eater anyway. I've forced myself over the years because that's what specialists told me to do, that I had to have a breakfast, the most important, blah, blah, blah. And I find that I really don't need it. I'm raised two sets of twins, so I get busy in the morning. Now I work in the office, do the podcast, help run our construction company. And I don't miss it. But what it does then is it gives me more calories for my lunch and dinner. And so it's kind of like I'm still eating the same calories, but it makes it so that I can have more food when I do eat. And I just like that better. I like a big lunch. I like to go to the Mexican restaurant and order just about anything I want, count the calories, and then eat a light dinner. And when I'm doing the fasting, if I'm going to stop eating at 6, I'll I'll watch the clock. And if it's 5:45 and I haven't had all of my calories, I go eat them. I go eat my calories or whatever would make me feel good and full to get through the night. And so that's why I think that it works for me so well, is because it, you know, and I know, it's 80% about the intake and 20% about the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, I think this is one of the things too that I think is important for people to listen to about, you know, our relationship and the way that we've worked so far. And I was the same client I was just speaking to a little while ago who talked about how amazing you look. I said, you know, it's an interesting case with Julie, and I don't think that she'd mind me telling you this. Julie and I have very few conversations about what she's going to do in the gym. And the way I see it is we're just not there yet. Right now, with everything that you have going on in your life, the gym is not the conversation to have. And then when you're ready, then we'll talk about the gym. But the gym's not going anywhere, but you still have to eat every day. So it's far more important to me to figure out how do we help you manage all the things that you have going on right now in your life so that you eat in a way that gets you closer to your goals. And so I think that's it's a battle that you have to win.
Yep. And I derive comfort from that because, you know, you can, especially I think women, I don't know if men are like this, but women, they get this guilt thing. Oh, I didn't go to the gym. Yeah, I might as well eat these 25 chocolate chip cookies because I didn't go to the gym, blah, blah, blah. And I just won't let it affect me. Do I feel better when I go? Yes, I definitely feel better. I deal with asthma symptoms from going through menopause. They're like an allergy asthma thing that happens. And so if I go to the gym, my lungs feel better. I'm a singer. My lungs feel like they open better and are stronger when I perform. I have more energy. I'm happier. And you know that that's crazy because I'm always happy, but I'm happier. And so I just try not to. Do I want to exercise a lot? Yes. Would I would actually, I would think I would look great if I were a gym rat. I mean, I have a body. You don't know this about me because you don't know me, but I have a very muscular frame. And because I grew up being raised like I was on a farm, although we weren't, we hauled wood, we cut wood, we took care of animals, we did everything. And I, from the time I can remember, I was working. And so I had a beautiful, beautiful body as a teenager. And I have a long, beautiful muscles in my legs. And I had a six pack and all of that. So that's all still there, Jason. It's all under there.
It's all
under
there.
Under the fluff.
Under the fluff. but you know, here's the thing that I like that you just did is, even though your body is not quite where you would like it to be, you're very good about recognizing these are the things that I like about my body. And I think a lot of people forget to do that, is they see all the things that they don't like. And so that becomes what they focus on, is all the things that aren't perfect. So I think I'm just going to, you know, dissolve myself into the package of cookies. So I think it's really, really important to find, even if it's one thing, my gosh, even if the only thing that you can focus on is, you know what, I have really nice, happy eyes. Like it sounds silly, but it's not, because sometimes when you just feel horrible about yourself, you need one thing to pull you out of the dumps.
Well, you know, before I had my twins, I was like that. I was in a marriage where I think that my first husband liked really, really thin women, and I'm not thin and I'll never be thin. You know what I mean? I'm just, no matter what I do, my body is more like a Marilyn Monroe kind of shape. I could never be a toothpick. So I had that pressure, and I would find everything negative about me. My best friends would be a size 2 and I'm a size 7, so I'm fat. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah. And so when I had my first set of twins, I almost died. And it made me look at my life completely differently, and it made me look at my body completely differently. And it happened again when I had my second set. I got eclampsia, and I was in a coma for 3 days after they were born, and only one out of every 100 women who get eclampsia live, and I lived, but I was really ill for like 6 months after they were born, and it was like 4 years before I felt normal. So I have learned to be grateful for my body. I have learned that, you know what? I get up and walk. I can put my arms around someone and hug them. I can reach out my hands to help someone. I'm not crippled. I'm not dealing with a handicap. I mean, God has blessed me. I'm alive. I'm alive in my body. It may not look like I want it to look, but honey, I'm going to rock what Jesus gave me. You know what I mean?
Well, and you have a wonderful platform with the show to inspire more women like you to be closer to what you are trying to achieve. Or if they're nowhere near as far along as you are, you're giving them hope to get there.
Oh, that's amazing. And that's really what I want, you know. And I kind of learned through my husband's eyes, my husband I'm married to, Gary Tussey. He helped me. And I don't know if women realize this, but I would have a little pooch. You know, I've had two sets of twins and have a little tummy. And he was like, that is beautiful. And I'm like, what? And he didn't even know what cellulite was till I pointed it out to him. And I thought, oh my gosh, I should have never told him what that is and educated him, because I realized he was seeing me in a complete opposite way that I saw myself. And so it helped me to look. Now I can look at women with a little tummy on them and I don't go, oh man, I feel so bad for them. No, I go like, you know what? That's part of them and that is beautiful. And some men think that's the most sexy thing God ever made.
That's right.
And so that's made a big difference. Having a husband who thinks that that God created me the most sexy being ever to walk the earth, that's very helpful.
Well, and I would say there's a lot of women out there that can't relate to that. So I think it is important that you have someone that, again, this is someone who recognizes different things of beauty about you that you don't see in yourself.
Exactly. So it's, you know, I always say this, Jason, and I'm sure you will have a lot to say about it, but it really starts in your mind. The success has to happen in your head before you will see your goals reached.
Yeah, I mean, your mind is the one that decides, am I going to eat this food or not? Or am I going to go to the gym or not? It all begins with a mental decision.
Well, and for women, too, I think it goes a step further. You can speak to it for men because, I don't know, my husband says he never even gets cravings or anything. But for women, I think if they see themselves as this fat person, then they can't make the choices that a healthy, thin person would make. Like if they're just convinced, you know, I can relate because I used to have that. Do you know, at one time in my life when I went through a divorce, I went from a size 14 to a size 5. And I literally was that weight for, I don't know, a year, year and a half. And I walked into TJ Maxx to buy clothes. And I went straight to the 14 rack. I picked out all the clothes and I went in the dressing room. And until I put on that pair of pants that was 3 times too big for me, I didn't even realize I did it.
Wow. I do mm-hmm. want to speak to the thing that you just mentioned, though, because I have found it is a problem for both men and women, the cravings. And I do find, too, that because I see it between both genders, emotional eating and boredom eating and comfort eating. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people I know that when they were growing up, the way that their parents solved problems was here's a bag of chips, or here, let's go get ice cream. You had a bad day. Right. And it becomes the immediate go-to. It's the knee-jerk reaction to, I don't feel good, or I am bored, or I am stressed, and this is what's going to solve it, even though it doesn't really solve it. It's like trying to throw it into a bottomless pit.
Exactly. And I don't know if other women and other men have experienced this, but there's something about going back to perimenopause and menopause. There's something about the hormonal drive that will make you just want to eat and eat and eat. And you can be full, but you feel like you need to eat. And it's something that you have to, you literally have to deal with it in your mind. Like you have to stop and say, okay, all right, I just had, you know, a bowl of cereal and a half a bag of potato chips. Am I really hungry? And ask, you know, you have to learn to do these things to check yourself. And I think that the basis, though, for at least for myself and maybe other women, is that I had to start believing, number one, that I was valuable. Number two, that I was worth all of the work that it was going to take. Number three, that it was okay to put myself and my needs before everybody else. Because if I don't take care of me, how can I properly take care of everyone else? And number four, I had to learn, Jason, to love myself right where I was. And that was not a beautiful thing for me. That was not a beautiful thing for me.
And for those who are listening, you may want to stop the podcast and go back to those 4 points and write them down. Mm-hmm. Because that was kind of a mic drop moment right there.
Right.
And it has to be almost something of the mantra that you tell yourself, because those are really the points that determine change. You know, as a trainer and as someone who spends all day, every day, you know, coaching people to improve where they are, I can talk a lot about environment. You know, if it's something as simple as, well, I eat the bag of chips whenever the bag of chips is home, we'll stop buying the chips. You know, you can do certain things to minimize damage, because not to say these people don't exist out there, but most people don't want to leave the comfort of their own home to go get something if it's not there. However, if it's there, it's probably going to get demolished. So it's, you know, part of it is about better shopping habits. Mm-hmm. And just, where are you environmentally that you have such easy access to things that it's so easy for you to go overboard with?
Exactly. You just have to have, I guess you have to have systems in place.
Yeah.
Don't you find that? I mean, that's, to me, that would be a system. Now me, I don't mind leaving the comfort of my home to go get what I want. So I've had to work on learning, why do I want that?
And then what is the, just out of curiosity, because I'm genuinely interested in this, what is the process in your mind as you're driving? So let's just say you want ice cream, but there's no ice cream in the house. That's a conversation that will happen between my wife and I sometimes, is we'll have dinner and she'll say, well, I will say this exactly the way that my wife says it. My wife will say, do we have a treat in the house? And I'm like, oh, damn it. I'm not going to get off the hook this time. So then it's about going somewhere to go get ice cream, because if I have it in the house, I'm going to eat it. And it's the same thing with cookies. Cookies are my Achilles heel, so I don't buy them. But it is one of those things that we kind of have to be mindful of, some of that. And my wife will normally tip her hat first and go, okay, I can't have any treats for a while because the scale just said X, Y, and Z. So it's, I am kind of curious for you, though, when you go out to get that food, is there any process in your mind that you're going through, like, I shouldn't be having this, but I really want it? Or what are your thoughts doing at that time?
Do you really want
to know? Let's hear it. Inquiring
well,
minds want to know.
It depends if I'm having an F you moment. You know what I mean? Like, F this. I've been starving myself, or whatever you think you're doing, you know, oh, I've been disciplining myself, I've been going without, or whatever. That generally doesn't happen to me too much anymore, thank God. And I think the reason is because listening to Heather Robertson, I have learned to make sure that I have a treat. I have a treat every day, whether it's a piece of Dove chocolate. I mean, I can tell you 4 pieces of Dove chocolate, dark chocolate, have 170 calories. And to me, my calories are my money, honey. And I spend my money wisely. And so I'm going to save up that 170 calories, because I know me. Because if I don't give myself treats, then I'm going to binge. That's me. I don't know why. And going through menopause and perimenopause made it 100-fold worse for me, this sugar thing. So that's what I have to do. But typically it would be, oh, you shouldn't go, and all of the guilt, and then go get it, and then the more guilt, and then completely off program because you blew it once. You know what I mean? That was my MO for many, many years. That's why I never stayed on anything very long, you know.
Well, and I do like the fact that you were able to determine that for you, you needed that little buffer. You've got to save that 170 calorie space in your, you know, your day to have what it is that you want. Because I'll tell you this, and from working with all the folks that I have, there are a lot of people that just don't have that luxury. They know that, you know, you mentioned Dove chocolates and I mentioned cookies. For me, again, and I'm not dealing with a weight issue, but I still have a behavioral pattern that I have to be mindful of, which is if the cookies are there, I will eat all the cookies. And so it's, I would be someone that right now where I am, you know, mentally and everything that's going on in life, it's probably a little bit easier for me to go to a store, buy one cookie and be satisfied. But, you know, cookies these days, they're not 110 calories, they're 512.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're as big as my head. So it's it is one of those things to also just kind of be mindful of. But I do like the fact that you have, you diagnosed the fact that you can moderate this particular food in your life and it keeps you on track.
Yes, and I think that behavior modification is major. You know, learning, I had to learn, okay, what can I live with? And I will crack people up when I say this, but I learned that I will not live without chips and salsa. And people, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, you're serious. But no, I've lost 24 pounds and I eat chips and salsa almost every single day. And I eat a piece of chocolate or something sweet almost every single day. But I just
see,
had to find
and
out.
People fear carbs. They shouldn't fear carbs.
No, don't fear carbs at all. I know, and I can't have gluten, you know, I can't have gluten, so I can have corn tortillas, and I have to have crunchy, I have to have salty, and I have to have hot and spicy. These are the things that I have to be happy. Now, if I were just doing the white knuckle Hollywood fast diet, and I thought that that was going to work for me, and I did it for 2 weeks and thought I'd be done, that would be a different story. But I have learned, and I'm sure you're a large advocate for this, and I am learning to do a live it, not a diet. I want to do what I can live the rest of my life doing. And if, and that goes to this point that you made earlier. If that means I'm going to carry 15 pounds more around at the age of 55, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and it's there's a gentleman that I've had on my show in the past, and I very fortunate that I was able to bring him on again. We did the episode last week. So for those listening who might be interested in this, Dr. Yoni Friedhoff is going to be reappearing on my show. I believe that episode is going to come out in August. And one of the things that he says, because this is something he's a big advocate of, he wrote a book called The Diet Fix. That's one of the books that he wrote. And the premise is... you know, a lot of people are like, well, what weight should I be at? Where they have a predetermined number in their mind of, I should be at this weight. And what he argues is that that weight, whatever that weight is the weight that you can get to living the best life that you can live. Are you happy at that life? And, you know, when you think about that, you know, we talk about what can you do for the rest of your life? Well, dieting is part of the process, and you don't expect to diet for all of your life. But what he says in our most recent episode is he says there is effort required. I mean, there is effort in part of this conversation. So once you can realize that it will take effort to get there, then it's kind of easier to to digest that complications and difficulties will be part of that. And then you will get to that magical aha place where you're like, you know what? This is good. I can live a comfortable life at this place.
Exactly. I like that. I love him. I've let him read his book to me 2 or 3 times on my Audible. He likes me so much. He reads to me. But yeah, he's so balanced. And I think that sometimes we can be unrealistic in our goals of what we're going to try to do to lose weight. And, at what weight we want to be. You know, what you weighed at 20, I don't really believe you can weigh at 55 without severe, severe sacrifice. I could be wrong, but I'm okay with that. Like, I don't care if I weigh 527 pounds, if I fit in a size 9-10 jeans, I'm fine. You know what I mean? So I kind of try to ignore the number and look more towards how I look in pictures, how I look on camera, how I look to myself when I get dressed, and how I feel in my own skin.
Yeah, it's really, like I said, I mean, these are the really important things to answer for yourself. And you really nailed it. I have a lot of people that come through my door who, you know, we sit down, we do the initial consultation, and I won't necessarily throw any numbers out, but they'll be at a certain weight. And I'll say, okay, where would you like to be? Well, I want to be here. Okay, when was the last time you were at that weight? Oh, geez, maybe when I was in college. And I'm thinking, right. Okay, when you were in college, well, let's see, you've had 3 children, you work a desk job, you are 53 years old, you know, all these things. And it's like your body has changed so much over time. And it's not to say that you can't get there, but what will you sacrifice to get there? And is that sacrifice worth it? And that's where the big questions come into play. So, I mean, I'm glad we're tackling all this stuff, because I think there's a lot of meat to this episode.
Yes, definitely. And it really is, Jason, it really is. What are you willing to trade? I won't trade my chocolate and I won't trade my chips and salsa. But you know what? I will trade cheese sauce on everything. I will trade bread. I don't eat bread. I will trade. There's things that I'm willing to trade to do that. And I think I think you owe it to yourself, each and every one of you that's listening today, and you're in this battle of trying to look better, feel better, and be healthier. I think you need to take time to delve into what it is in life that's important to you and what it is that you really, really want. Do you really want to look like a model? Or do you just want to be healthy and be able to run in the yard with your grandkids? Do you really want to never touch carbs again? Or do you want to find a way of eating where you can have carbs and you still lose weight? Don't you think, Jason, that it's just like so many people get the cart before the horse? They're like, oh my God, I looked like I weighed 300 pounds in that picture. I got to go on a diet. And the next morning they're starving themselves.
It happens a lot. It does. And so, you know, the one thing that I've learned over all this time is I would love to preach moderation to every person, because I know how well moderation works. But, you know, the fact of the matter is there is that certain percentage of people who really do thrive on those 180 degree drastic turns. And that's just what works for them. So, everything meets in the middle and everything's got a gray area. So I would love for it to be more black and white. But, you know, there are just certain things where, again, you sort of learn what it's like on that spectrum. And just like what you go through every day with, you have found a way to moderate chocolate. I have another person who cannot moderate chocolate, and chocolate has to be taken out of the equation for the time being. So it's yeah. tough. It's always a battle.
Yes. If you can't control yourself with it, then you have to, it has to be your, you know, drug that you don't touch. You know what I mean?
Well,
Jason, it's been great to talk with you.
Julie, thank you again. Thank you for sure.
Oh, I love this. There's a couple other things that I would like to do. I'd like to do 2 more podcasts with you that I have some subjects that are really, really good. And you are now, what was your title that we gave you? Our official correspondent, health correspondent for the Julie Tussey Show.
I love it. That makes me sound almost more official than I am in my normal life. I'm like an owner and a host and all this stuff. But God, this is like kind of makes me feel special. It sort of blew my head up a little bit.
You're the big low-fat cheese for the Julie Tussey Show. So thank you so much, Jason, and I look forward to talking to you again. If someone wants to listen to your podcast or follow you, why don't you give us some information so they can find you?
Sure. So the podcast is called Revolutionary You. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. If you need to reach me directly, I'm always happy to connect with new people. So you can find me on Facebook or through my website. It's jasonleanarts.com. And spelled LEENAARTS, or just message Julie because she knows how to track me down.
I have you on my Batman speed dial. So, you know what, Jason, I wanted to announce too, I'm going to be starting some public speaking. So if you're listening and you have an event, a women's event or any event that you want somebody who like me, who's kind of crazy to come and speak at, we are getting ready to launch that. So isn't that exciting?
That's very exciting. You have so much going on right now.
I know. And the other thing that I have to announce on the podcast today, I might as well tell you about it, Jason, is that we're now being sponsored officially by Tussey Homes Incorporated, and that is mine and Gary's company. And we literally do original designs, and we have the most I would say the best craftsmanship that I've seen in homes in a long time, because my husband, he looks young, but he's been doing this a long time. And we're selling some houses out in Richmond, Kentucky. Oh, have you seen it? Yeah, I sent you a video, Jason.
You did. It really spectacular. Oh my gosh. Especially for someone like me who is not remotely handy. I look at that and go, yep, I could never do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to build a house, but we left, so we do our original designs, and we found this whole street that we're trying to develop, the entire street. And in the front, you are right off I-75 near the heart of Richmond, where the new mall is and Meijer, everything's right there. And then in your backyard, you are overlooking a pastoral farm area that is protected by the Army Corps of Engineers and will never change. So if you're interested in that, give Curtis Rose a phone call. He is our realtor, or just email me at julietussie@gmail.com. We'll get you some information. So, Jason, you might want to consider moving here. It's beautiful.
Oh, so you're getting me closer to my hometown. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much again. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Julie, for having me. I look forward to the next go-around.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Julie Tussie Show today. Please do subscribe. Tell your friends and family about the podcast. We are here to help you have a better life and to keep you in the know on the Julie Tussie Show. This is Julie telling you, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest. For the latest blues CD from Julie Tussie, please go to cdbaby.com/CD/Julie Tussie 2 and get your own copy of the Big Blonde Baby CD. Again, that's cdbaby.com/CD/Julie Tussie 2. If you're looking for a beautiful home in Richmond, Kentucky, Tussie Homes Incorporated and an official sponsor of the Julie Tussie Show is now building original homes. They are beautiful on a picturesque property. Please go find us at facebook.com/Tussie Construction.
After a week of hearing hundreds of I can'ts, I'm here today to tell you, you can. Find us on social media at facebook.com/The Julie Tussie Show and Instagram, The Julie Tussie Show, home of the original suburban bombshell. Want to feel amazing, strong, and healthy any time of the day or night? Go to Get Fit in Richmond, Kentucky. Open 24 hours a day with memberships as low as $14.99 a month. Fitness on your schedule. Get Fit. I know you're the man I want to meet. Everything about you calls my name.
If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.